Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by his wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
What joy they bring to me.
How I long once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy they bring to me.
Well, good morning, everyone, and greetings in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, let us go to the Lord in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Fathers, we open your word this morning. We're asking for the presence of the Holy Spirit to be with us, to give us a greater understanding of this, your word this morning, Heavenly Father. Help us to walk stronger each and every day. Father, teach all to love thy word, Father, and to love walking in it, and walking with the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. Help us all now, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Hold on just a minute. I've got a difficulty. Okay. We're going to be Acts chapter 17. The title of this chapter 17 is The Uproar in Thessalonica. The beginning here now with verse 1. Now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and 3 Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is Christ. Verse 4, some of them believed, and consorted with Paul and Silas and of the devout Greeks, a great multitude, and of the chief women, not a few. But the Jews, you see, the ones giving all of them so much trouble is the Jewish people, his own people. But the Jews which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company, and set all of the city on an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. And you see, they're really causing problems. Verse 6. And when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, these that have turned the world upside down are come hither also, proclaiming everything they can think of, trying to get rid of all of them, because they want to keep living according to the law. But we know that Jesus, when he died, was resurrected, and on that day of Pentecost sent the Holy Spirit back to mankind, he fulfilled all of that. That, in a lot of ways, that all was finished. They no longer had to make those sacrifices, all of that things, and keep all of the things they were doing. They had to turn to Jesus. And that's what they wouldn't like, is that turning to the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 7, whom Jason has received, and these all do contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king, one Jesus. You see, they're not understanding those that are proclaiming him to be king, the meaning of what they are saying. They're not understanding he's not claiming to be a king there on the earth, although he is. But that's not what being claimed. And he has told them himself in the four Gospels that his kingdom was not of this world. But they still will not listen, just like today. They are not listening to the truth of God's word. They want to take it, and they'll use verses here and verses there, but they'll take those verses, tear them apart to make them say what they want it to say instead of what it says. Here's verse 8. And they troubled the people and the rulers of the city when they heard these things. And when they had taken security of Jason and of the others, they let them go. But they had to take something from them, see. Now, here's verse 10. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. Going back into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more notable than those in Thessalonica. And that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. Now here, this group is staying with the scriptures and they search it to see whether what they are saying measures up with the scriptures, which is what we all need to do. That's why I tell everybody that I talk with, if you want to hear me, be sure you have your Bibles with you, because I want you to know the truth of God's word and what is being said is coming from that word. Now, this is what was going on here in this place. Now, 12. Therefore, many of them believed, also of honorable women, which were Greeks, and of men, not a few. But when the Jews of Thessalonica had knowledge that the word of God was preached of Paul at Berea, they came thither also and stirred up the people. You see, wherever Paul goes, they want to follow after him to stir the people up, to bring them out from under grace and trying to get them back under the law. And you see, it don't take a whole lot to get that done. Because if you obey the law in one point, then you are to keep the whole law. They couldn't do it and didn't do it. Why does anybody else think they can? All right, now, 14. And then immediately, the brethren sent away Paul to go, as it were, to the sea, but Silas and Timothy abode there still. Timothy and Silas stayed. Paul left. And they that conducted Paul brought him unto Athens, and receiving a commandment unto Silas and Timothy for to come to him with all speed, they departed. 16. Now while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to adultery, out of worshiping. You see, that's mainly what all the Gentile people were doing. They were worshiping idols, because they knew nothing about God. The Jews wouldn't even fellowship with them. They wasn't sharing anything with them at all, because they thought they were not supposed to have it, that they were the only ones to receive anything from God. Now, they are God's chosen people, but they're not walking very well with him, are they? That's why the Lord Jesus Christ came into the world, was to give us a better way. But he also then brought the Gentile people in. And this Paul that we are reading about here, the Lord Jesus made him our apostle. It made him the apostle to the Gentiles. Now, Verse 17. Therefore disputed he in the synagogue with the Jews and with the devout persons in the market daily with them, that met with him. He's disputing with him and trying to teach them about the Lord Jesus Christ in the scripture. 18. Then certain philosophers of the Epicureans and others encountered him, and some said, "What will this babbler say?" Other some, "He seemed to be a setter forth of strange gods, because he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection, because they were worshiping idols." So he was preaching to them about a strange god. 19. And they took him and brought him unto Areopagus, saying, "May we know what this new doctrine whereof thou speakest is." This new doctrine you're talking about, we want to know what it is. 20. For thou bringest certain strange things to our ears. We would know, therefore, what these things mean. 21. For all of the Athenians and strangers which were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new thing. Quite a time, wasn't it? Quite a time here on this earth. And now we're moving into days that is matching that time and will shortly even outdo that time. Think about it. There is some horrible things coming unto mankind because he has turned away from the Lord God Almighty. Just think about it. They was given some statistics here a few days back. They are saying right now that there has been 44 million of our church members that has fallen away from the church. Think about that. 44 million church members has fallen away from the church. It's not hard for us to believe that, because in looking around, and like I have said here a time or two, within this county where I live here, when I first moved back here to this county, I had been out of it for a while. When I first moved back here 30 years ago, every church on Sunday morning, Sunday evening, and Wednesday was full. I mean, they were full. And right now, most all of them are down to between 6 and 10 people. And some is even lower than that. Right now, within just a few minutes drive, 10 or 15 minute drive from my home, we have three churches that has less than five that are on the verge of closing. And we have three already closed. So it's not hard to understand the truth of the falling away from the church. And part of that is the fault of churches, because they let Satan in the door, they quit preaching the truth of God's word, and they've accepted things in and let it come in as being truth that should never have been allowed in the front door. Like homosexuality. Most all of our denominational churches has accepted homosexuality as just another lifestyle. And they are some that are even having active homosexual pastors in their pulpits. Nothing else can happen except that church fall. Because those that do love the Lord is not going to stay there. But you see, what they should have done is they should have stayed, because then they fall away, they get away from the church, and then they get away from God. When you don't attend church and you don't attend Bible study, when you're not spending time in prayer, you are going to walk away from God. That is a fact. And it's all through the Bible. And as we go through this Bible, you're going to hear a lot of it and a lot about it. But homosexuality wasn't the only thing. Then they accepted abortion as a woman's choice. No, it's not her choice. There's only one that can legally take that life, and that's God Almighty. When she lets that life be taken, they are committing murder in the eyes of God. And he has a lot more to say about how we treat children. Well, you see, they're not children because they haven't come into this world yet. Yes, the moment that conception was conceived, the Lord spoke that life there, or it would not have grown to the point of either being born or aborted. It is life. And in the eyes of God, it is a being, a person. The sins that we are told not to do over and over and over and over throughout the Word of God. Adultery. ...55% of all marriages right now in divorce. That should not be. We read about that yesterday. That should not be. And those that remarry after being divorced, that still has that living spouse, they and the one they marry commit adultery. They are living in adultery. Our churches are filled with them. Well, they ain't filled because we ain't got very many churches now, Phil. Yes, we've got one or two big churches, yes. And most of our churches that has a lot of people in them, they're not teaching the truth of God's word. We have some churches teaching God's word, but they are few and they are far between. But you need to find one. Then fornication. How that is growing here in our land. Fornication means that sexual intercourse when you are not married, you're single. And now these couples, they go together for a little while and then they want to move in together and live as man and wife without being married. That is fornication. And the word tells them that no fornicator or adulterer is going to enter into the kingdom of God. And it's put there just like that. It's put there plainly. But our churches has let it all in. They need to repent, every one of them that is doing these things needs to repent and turn back and get them a man of God in their pulpits that will teach the truth of God's word. In other words, teach this word as it is written. Now, we're down here now to 21. For all of the Athenians and strangers which were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new thing. 22. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar, this inscription, to the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship him, declare I unto you. This unknown God you're talking about, I'm going to declare him to you. Tell you all about him. But are they going to really want to hear it? 24. God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands. Now, he doesn't dwell and live in that place we call church. Pardon me a moment. Now, he lives within each one of us that belongs to him, that has gave our lives to him. Now, 25. Neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, saying he giveth to all, and breath giveth to all life, and breath, and all things. And as we talked yesterday about it, you know, if you are truly a born-again child of God, walking according to his will for your life. He could require of you to give away everything you have. And you could do it, and you would never have to worry about anything. Think about that. Why wouldn't you have to worry? Because he lets you know that he will give you all things. He'll take care of all your needs. Does it mean you won't have to work and things like that? No, you don't. He don't like lazy people. No. And he lets us know that. 26. And has made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if happily they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. He's not far. He's always present. Even with those that are lost. Because those that are lost does come in contact with his children. And his children has him living in them. He's right there. He and the Holy Spirit both are right there. They're there to take care of you. And they will do their work. God never lets down. He never lies. He does not make a promise and then not keep it. You see, man walks away. God doesn't. In fact, he tells you, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Once you go to him and you become that born-again child of the living God, God's not going to forsake you. Now, 28, for in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. 29, for as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is likened to gold or silver or stone graven by art and man's device, which is what they were doing. They were making graven images out of silver and gold and stone and all on what was in their mind. Paul's letting them know, that's not the God. And the times of this ignorance, God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Because he has appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he has given assurance unto all men in that he has raised him from the dead. He's telling them about Jesus there. We are in him. If we be that child of God. And if we're not a child of God, then we're as bad off as these that are worshiping idols. There's not any difference. Because we've made other things our God. Money, the way we live, how we want things. A lot of us has made ourselves that because we think that we don't need any help from God or no one. And we want to go, and we do go, our own way. You'll not make heaven your home like that. And he told us several times here in this chapter about it. But did you catch it? Now, 32. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked. Some mocked. And others said, we will hear thee again of this matter. So as we that are born again today, reach out to others that are lost with the word of God and about the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're being mocked and ridiculed, lied on, lied about, persecuted. Don't think anything about it. Because we know that it will be. The Lord Jesus told us himself in his own words, they persecuted me, and if they persecuted me, they will persecute you. And we see it done all the time. You'd be surprised at some of the things that has been said to me. All because of the word of God. And them not wanting to hear the truth. Because they had their own ways. 33. So Paul departed from among them. 34, and we're going to close out. Howbeit certain men cleave unto him and believed, among the which was Dias, the Agrippakite, and a woman named Damaris, and others with them. Don't say what others, it just says others with them. We have come to the end of chapter 17. And 18 is not a real short chapter, so we're not going to get started into it. God willing, we can be back together this evening at 6 p.m. and back into his word. Be with me if you can, because we all need the word of God, because it's the only way that we can make heaven our home is by taking his word, bringing it in to ourselves, and making it our way of life and living by it and with the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. We're told to walk in the Spirit. These are things that man has denied. But we are told to walk in the Spirit. All right. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, as we close your word this morning, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. Father, we know that we have a lot of work to do, and we want to be there when you call. And sometimes, Father, we need help. The help of your word, the help of the Lord Jesus, and the help of the Holy Spirit. And when you call upon us, Father, to go and to do something, we know that they are with us. And that whatever you have called upon us to do will be done. Not because we are anything, but because of the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. It gives us the power to do what you ask of us. And Father, I pray now for the sick that's out there. And I pray, Father, that they understand that that healing has already been given because they are healed by his stripes. Those stripes upon the Lord Jesus Christ paid for their healing. Put their faith in him. Thank him for it and stand in faith believing that they'll find that it will all come true and come about. It may not happen at that moment, but they will continue to believe there'll be a time that they won't even know when all of it is left, but it will just come to them. You know, I don't have that no more. It's gone. We see the healing power of Jesus will take care of all of us. Yes, there's times that he lets us walk a while with it because we have things to learn. And we will grow in knowledge. Now, Father, keep us all through this day. Keep us according to your will and your way. Help us to remember you each and every moment through the day, Father. Giving you praise and thanking you for everything that we have. Be with us now, Father. Bring us back together this evening at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right. Have a great day. And hopefully be talking to you at 6 p.m. this evening.